Well, when we're talking about the origins of the French Revolution, I think we should remember one thing that all historians have to think about always, and perhaps don't think about enough, I think, which is that unlike those who participate in historic events, historians have got the advantage of knowing what happened next. Well, you may say that's an advantage, and it is in some ways, but in other ways, it's perhaps a disadvantage, because you might say that it obscures as much about how and why things happen as it actually illuminates. I think the historical reality is, and you can see it in everything that happens around us all the time, is that none of us know what's going to happen next. None of us know how we're going to react to unforeseen things and unwelcome circumstances particularly. We just don't know. And we've got to imagine that people in the past also didn't know what was going to happen next. And I think nothing illustrates this better than the historiography of the years before the French Revolution. A huge amount has been written about the Ancien Régime, the period that precedes the revolution, but a lot of what's been written about that is really about explaining what happened in the revolution rather than why the revolution occurred, because we know what happened next. And so what this historiography has been about is explaining, for instance, why the revolutionaries want representative government, human rights, why they attack privileges, why they attack aristocrats, why eventually they overthrow the monarchy itself in France, why they attack religion, which is a fundamental aspect of the revolution, why the people emerges as a crucial aspect of the revolution, why, most spectacularly of all, I suppose, why the revolution culminates in the terror in 1793-4, which is a sort of blacken the memory of the revolution ever since. Why it kicks off a generation of warfare. And why it, or whether, it inaugurates the rule of a different social class, the rule of the bourgeoisie, and economically speaking, why it releases capitalism, or is indeed is caused by capitalism. That's an argument in itself. What you have to say is, when you look at that list, how many of these things had come about, how many of these things even seemed likely in 1789? And I would suggest that most of them didn't. People didn't foresee these things coming. People didn't plan for most of these things that actually occurred. They were, as it were, taken by surprise by events. And the logical conclusion of that is that much of what subsequently happened was the result of the revolution itself, rather than things which started beforehand. I think too often we tend to think of the revolution as a single event. In the famous words of the French Prime Minister Georges Clemenceau, who really believed in what he saw as the ideals of the revolution, that the revolution was a block, and you've got to take it, all of it. You can't pick and choose various aspects about it. And we tend too often to think of it in those terms. But I think, and I think quite a lot of people writing on it now think, that the revolution shouldn't be seen as a block, as an event, but as a process, something that's quite long, actually, depending on how you rate the issues that I've just talked about, a process that lasts anything between 5 and 15 years, in effect. That is a long time in anybody's life. In fact, and insofar as I'm talking to people at school, that's as long as many of them have been alive, in fact. And the revolution stretches all that length of time. Now, my view, and I've got to set my stall out here before I go on to talk about the origins, my view is that the revolution runs from 1789 right through to 1802. And it ends when Napoleon comes along and he solves the three big issues that the revolution has thrown up. You might call them three great self-inflicted wounds that France gives itself during the revolutionary process. The question of religion, the question of monarchy, and the question of war. Napoleon solves those by doing a deal with the Pope, resolving the religious question, resolve the monarchical question by making himself a monarch, in effect, making himself the single ruler of France and eventually an emperor. And he resolves the issue of war, which has been going on since 1792, by winning it. And he wins it in 1802. Okay, after that, you know, within a year, new wars start, the Napoleonic Wars proper, but they're not the revolution. The revolution is really over by 1802. But what we've really got to then look at is what starts this process that leads to all these momentous events and these momentous self-inflicted wounds.